Chapter 6. More Problems for Charles. The Queen looked at Charles in the magistrate's court. Diana sat next to her, holding a wet handkerchief. Her eyes and nose were pink. Why had she forgotten to phone their lawyer? How could she have forgotten such an important thing? It was all her fault that the court lawyer was now defending Charles. He was an incompetent idiot.
"Please stand up to answer the prosecutor's questions," said the chief magistrate to Charles.
Charles stood up. Then Beverly Threadgold was brought into court and went and stood next to Charles. Charles offered her a chair.
"Please stand, Mrs. Threadgold," shouted the chief magistrate.
Charles held Beverly to her feet. Seeing their hands touch made Diana feel jealous. Beverly looked fabulous, so curvy and womanly. Diana noticed this and decided to put on some weight. The case began. PC Ludlow was called and questioned by the chief magistrate. He told lies and said both Charles and Beverly assaulted him, but he couldn't explain the reason for this assault. Perhaps it was the influence of the violence on television. The case continued. The court lawyer couldn't remember his client's names. He confused the evidence and irritated everyone. Finally, the chief magistrate declared that the case would go to the Crown Court, but until then, Charles and Beverly would be released on bail. On the way home, Tony Threadgold suggested that they all have a cup of tea at a local cafe to celebrate Beverly and Charles's release. The Queen felt quite lonely as she watched the two couples enter the cafe in front of her. Tony and Beverly were holding hands, and Diana's head was on Charles's shoulder. The Queen missed Philip. She only had her black handbag to hold.
"I'm afraid I haven't got any money to pay for the tea," said the Queen.
"No problem," said Tony, as he tried to find a table. He got 5 cups of tea and 5 small cakes.
"Tony, you're lovely, you really are," said Beverly. "Here you are, Liz," she said, giving the Queen a piece of cake.
The Queen realized that it was the first time anyone had called her Liz, but she didn't really mind at all. Later that day, Princess Anne arrived in Hell Close with her 2 children, Peter and Zara. The Queen hurried to welcome her. Anne's home was on a corner in Hell Close, so it had an unusually large garden. The house was small, dirty and cold, but Anne said she was satisfied with it.
"It's a roof over our heads," she said. "It's better than being put against a wall and shot."
Spiggy arrived expecting to cut up Anne's carpets, but he wasn't needed. Unlike the others, Anne had taken Mr. Barker's measurements seriously. Her carpets and furniture were modest in taste and size. Soon the sound of someone banging pipes was heard throughout the close as Princess Anne installed her washing machine using Tony Threadgold's toolbox and a book of instructions. Later that evening, the Queen rang the Threadgold's front doorbell.
"Come in," said Beverly when she opened the door.
It was the Queen's first time in the Threadgold's home. She could hear an Elvis Presley song somewhere in the house. Elvis Presley was everywhere in pictures on the wall, on plates and cups, and on a towel hanging from the kitchen door. Tony extinguished his cigarette in an Elvis Presley ashtray and stood up as the Queen entered. The Queen held out a 5-pound note.
"I've come to repay you for the tea and cakes," she said. "It was very kind of you to lend me the money."
Tony asked the Queen to sit down. Beverly went to fill the kettle, and the Queen noticed a picture hanging above the fireplace of 2 young children. The Queen asked who they were. Tony hesitated and then said,
"Those are our children, Vernon and Lisa Marie."
"Oh," said the Queen, "I thought you didn't have any children. Are they playing in the street?"
"No, they're not," Tony replied. "We've got children, but the social services have taken them from us. They've had them for 18 months.
The Queen saw that they were upset,
so she thanked them for the tea and said good night. As she left, she said,
"I'm sure that you and Mrs. Threadgold are excellent parents."
"Thanks," said Tony, and he closed the door and went to console his wife.
The Queen returned to her house and went up to the bedroom. Philip was lying on his side, looking so miserable that she went to the bed and took his hand.
"Philip, what is it?"
"I've lost everything," he said. "What's the point of living?"
The Queen stroked his unshaven cheek.
"How old he looks today," she thought. "I'm going to heat a tin of soup. Would you like some?" she asked.
Philip didn't answer, so the Queen went downstairs to make her supper. As she heated her soup, she heard Beverly Threadgold crying through the wall. The Queen bit her lip, but a single tear rolled down her face and into the pot.
"At least I won't have to add salt," she thought,
happy that no one had seen her lose control.